It's the most wonderful time of the year.
So tell me, would you listen to a podcast based on this E3?
No, I wished I hadn't even seen the E3.
Would you record a podcast on the E3?
No, God, no.
Got some bad news for you then. It's the happiest season. What's up, guys? This is podcast number 2, we'll call it, and we're sitting here after E3 is now concluded. Down a couple of people tonight. We've gone from 4 to the 3 amigos, and now we're settling at the gruesome twosome. Andrew's sitting at my side tonight. What's going on, Andrew?
How you doing?
So E3's over now. A lot of stuff to talk about. No shortage of information. How you feeling, Andrew?
I guess I'm feeling as good as I can.
There's a little foreshadowing of what we thought to E3. So without further ado, we're probably just going to hop right into this. We're probably going to focus on the press conferences first. We'll take a few questions later, hit on some highlights and lowlights of the thing, and do a little rapid fire like we did last time at the end, and that should be it. So just sit back, guys, and enjoy it. So like I said, first up, we're going to talk about the press conferences, and Microsoft will be first out of the gate. Andrew, what you got?
Well, Microsoft was first, yeah. They showed us a lot of demos, I actually saw. You know, they showed us Gears of War 3. They showed us Mass Effect 3. First ones to do it, actually. Showed us 2 Halo games.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed us quite a bit of Kinect stuff.
Quite a bit being an understatement.
Yeah, there was a bit of a heavy-duty Kinect base on that one. They did. They opened it up with Modern Warfare 3. That was the first thing coming right out of the gate. They did. They gave us a demo of it.
No surprise there, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, I got to say, I didn't think it was what the people wanted to see.
Wasn't what I wanted to see.
From what I know, it's made by a different developer altogether, too, isn't it?
I'm not really sure on the situation. Infinity Ward still has their name on it. Sledgehammer, I believe, is the game. Sledgehammer Games,
Sledgehammer Games, something like that.
I think it's kind of a co-developed thing. I mean, I'm not sure if they, you know, one side handled the campaign, one handled the multiplayer, but it's not the same team that made Modern Warfare 1 and 2, that's for sure.
Yeah, but Halo, I mean, they gave us an anniversary collection, which is essentially mm-hmm. Halo 1 redone. And then at the very end of the press conference, they gave us the big bombshell of theirs that it was going to be Halo 4 done by a different group called 343.
Yep.
343 Industries.
Yeah. That's who's supposed to be maintaining the Halo franchise now. And not only did they announce Halo 4, they said it was a new trilogy. So technically that's 4, 5, and 6 all announced at once.
Hmm. But, what did you think about the Halo? I mean, both Halos getting shown. What are your opinions on them?
Looking back on it, I was, you know, the Halo Anniversary Collection, that wasn't a surprise to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that had been rumored for a while. And, you know, seeing it for the first time, I thought it was pretty neat. And they announced it would be $40. That's great. But when the details started trickling out, wow, they lost a sale for me pretty quickly. No multiplayer. The multiplayer is only, it's going to be maps you can export to Reach. So what the hell's the point? Yeah, that's to my understanding, of course. So that's just, I mean, if I was going to rebuy Halo 1, I'd want to play multiplayer. I'd love Halo's 1 multiplayer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There will be online co-op. That's kind of neat. But obviously, I don't want to judge a final product. But it was, it's supposed to be new graphics running on top of the Halo 1 engine. And the trailer they showed had massive frame rate issues. So I don't know if that's going to persist. But, you know, it looked kind of scary when they showed the footage.
Yeah, quite honestly, to me, it almost looked like I saw they did sort of like an assassination in the video, and it looked exactly like Reach's. And so to me, it just looks like it's, you know, they took the Reach engine and just made Halo 1 out of that. And to me, that seems very lazy.
Well, I think that was what got me, though, is I saw that and I was like, man, they really messed up the Halo 1 multiplayer. But I believe what I understand, that there is no Halo 1 multiplayer. This is just maps for Reach. The game itself, I believe, is just Halo 1 with the new graphics engine, like the campaign and all that. So that's cool. But I love Halo 1's campaign, but I would never see myself paying any amount of money to play that over again. I have it for my original Xbox right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Me too.
As for Halo 4, yeah, you know, the trailer was neat, and if I hadn't seen some news breaking before E3 started, I would have thought, man, yeah, that's pretty, I don't even want to say bombshell, because another Halo game, you knew the Halo 4 was coming eventually. It was kind of spoiled by the rumors that were, you know, leaked early, but mm-hmm. I wasn't too blown away by it. The trailer was neat. Halo 4 in a year, call me when it's here, I guess. How'd you feel about Halo 4, or both of those games, to be honest?
Well, I mean, with the Anniversary Collection, before I actually heard about these details for it, I would have considered buying it for $40. But like you said, since there's no real multiplayer to it and there's just online co-op, it just does seem worth it to me. doesn't seem worth it to have it. But that with Halo 4, honestly, got to say, I think that wasn't a big enough surprise. That was gonna, I think that was Microsoft's big surprise announcement. That's what they were sort of. That was their feather in their cap for their press conference. And to me, it was just, it was the same as the Modern Warfare 3 demo coming out at the very beginning. It's just, oh hey, there's another one. Wow, it's not over. Okay, all right.
I honestly feel like Microsoft's built up a bit of a reputation as the bombshell guys over these past few E3s. Maybe not last year, but the past couple, they really had some big announcements. And if they were expecting Halo 4 to make as big a splash as the last two, then they were sorely mistaken, because I just kind of shrugged and said, "Nah, that's neat." You know, it didn't really do it for me.
And especially with the idea that once you finished Halo 3, you got that legendary ending that gave you the surprise that it's not over.
So, yeah, exactly. You knew there was going to be more Halo, and you knew there was going to be more Halo with Master Chief. Come on, guys. Don't act like you fooled us with that one. We knew it was coming.
All right, we talked a lot about the solid games, but what do you think about all the Kinect featured games?
You know, as far as their core Kinect titles, they really went an opposite direction. It's the exact same stuff they talked about last year. You know, Dance Central 2, Kinect Sports 2, all that kind of stuff. And then they had even more childish stuff. You know, stuff like Sesame Street and Disneyland. It doesn't do it for me, and I doubt it did it for anybody. They really did nothing to say, oh yeah, this Kinect, it'll work for a Gears of War or something. They showed me nothing like that. So Kinect again, another from me.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that childish thing. I think there is that whole idea that parents and kids can get in on that kind of stuff, but you embarrass yourself when you make that a focal point.
And Nintendo, I can see that from, but Microsoft's supposed to be the kind of, you know, they kind of separate themselves. We're the more grown-up game console. Exactly. They try to act like that, and then they share this stuff, and you're like, you know, really, guys? That's that doesn't make me feel real mature.
Thank you for wasting my time.
Obviously, everybody has their own caveats, but wow, they really kind of focus hard on Kinect again, and that really hurt their press conference for me.
But there is one good thing I'd like to say about the Kinect with the Mass Effect 3 demo they did. I thought that was one thing that was put in the right direction with it. I thought it should be seen as an accessory to your games and not a focal point.
I agree. Like I said, we talked about it last week. I never saw Mass Effect 3 as a game to feature Kinect support, and I had no idea how they were going to do it. And voice commands, you know, that's a pretty logical use for the Kinect. When I saw it, you know, I was like, what could they do? But it's pretty neat, especially when you think about playing on the console as somebody myself who just loves Mass Effect and have played both games just so many times. Being on a console, you're kind of handcuffed by the technology. There's only so many buttons on the controller, and being able to give voice commands to my squad or something like that without having to pull up that little wheel, break the action, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, I will say that I think last podcast we did, I said that I didn't think there was much they could do to the Kinect. It was pretty much the technology was there and they couldn't improve upon it any. But I kind of ate my words with that when they showed me what they could do there. And I thought that was good. But still, they were, you know, holding in those Fable, the Journey type of stuff.
That looked terrible. But I will ask you this, as much as you're trying to, you know, trump up the Kinect, what they can do with it. I have to ask as an objective viewer, people playing Mass Effect 3 for the PS3 or PC, why can't they use a headset? Why couldn't the PS3 users use a Bluetooth headset, or just like we have now, a PC headset? Why couldn't we just give the commands through that? What makes the Kinect so special with that, I wonder?
Yeah, that is something that I saw when I was streaming the game trailers for after Microsoft's press conference, and that was one thing that guy Jeff asked. He asked this guy from Microsoft who was on there why they couldn't just use the headset when they wanted to command people in Mass Effect 3 or things or games like that. And the guy really kind of slided the question off. He's like, he was kind of thinking on it himself, and he's like, you kind of caught me there.
Yeah.
Why can't you?
Well, you know, it's a bit of a marketing move. But as someone who owns an Xbox 360 and a Kinect and who will definitely be getting Mass Effect 3, I welcome it. I thought it was kind of neat.
I do too. Plus the fact that they're doing that Xbox dashboard with voice command and the Kinect.
Yes, I'm glad I almost forgot about that. That's something, you were over here when I got my beta test unit for Kinect, and, you know, the first thing I wanted to do was control the dashboard with it, you know, through my voice, through my hands, any of that. I've been waiting for that since they released this damn thing. What's the point of having the separate dashboard when all I want to do is navigate the original dashboard with this Kinect? If the idea is controller free, then don't make me turn on the console with a controller and then have to do this and that, and then finally I can get to Netflix through the Kinect dashboard. Come on, make it all together, and I'm excited for that. I believe that's, you know, a step in the right direction.
Yeah, me too.
So overall, we graded it in our first podcast, you know, what we thought the press conference was going to be. What did you give it the first time, and what do you give Microsoft this, you know, after you've finally seen the show?
Before, I gave it an A-, and now after I've seen it, I'm going to give them a B-.
What you about mind, you mind justifying that?
Justify it by saying there were some things that I thought were interesting to show. I thought Kinect Sports was interesting. I thought Gears of War 3 was a good thing to show. And you
know, we didn't touch on Gears, which I'll go ahead and get a quick word in. You know, Gears 3, the demo, I wasn't so big on Ice-T coming out there, but the demo itself, it was cool. It was Gears. It didn't blow me away, but it was solid.
They were the first ones to show Mass Effect 3. I mean, like I said, I'll say again, it was very formal. There were no troubles for me to go on. Most, if not everything they showed, had a demo to play. And so you actually got to see someone playing something. And it wasn't all just talk and videos. It was more being shown in front of you what's going on. And so I think they gave you something. If not everything you wanted, they gave you what you could deal with.
I'll agree. Microsoft, they were better than last year. I thought they had some, you know, they had some stuff to show that interests me.
So, I mean, I give it a B minus. What's your take on the whole thing?
Well, on podcast number one, I gave him a B minus. After seeing it, though, I'm going to throw him with a C minus. Still way too much Kinect stuff for me. The Mass Effect thing was neat, but I just can't bump him up that much for showing a game I love. They had a lot of neat stuff, but I don't know. It was just not, I was wanting to be wowed, especially as someone who primarily plays on his Xbox. I wanted them to show me a bit more. And I came away kind of disappointed, to be honest.
Now, do you give it a C minus based on not having any surprises you wanted, or is it just from everything you've seen?
Well, they didn't have any surprises, but if I could recap it, you know, Modern Warfare 3, a letdown. It was way too much time spent on that. You know, the Tomb Raider demo was pretty neat. You know, Gears of War 3, we've already seen it before, played the beta. It was okay. They just had a lot of okay things. You know, Halo, it didn't really make a big splash to me. It just felt like the time they had to spend on games I care about, either it wasn't a big announcement or the games weren't that interesting. And the chunk of the time, again, was spent on Kinect, which on a whole is not that interesting. It's Kinect. We know what it's about.
Yeah.
I also will have to, right before we close out on Microsoft, I'll have to interject the Kinect Fun Labs. You know, they spent that time doing that.
Oh, yeah, the Fun Labs.
I know I had a chance to play with it. I know you did, too.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't work for shit for me. I thought it was horrible. What about you?
Well, honestly, once I finished using it, the first thing I said was, wow, that was 30 seconds of fun for something that took months to make.
Well, the problem with me is that was some smoke and mirrors on the stage, because that stuff does not work right.
Yep. I don't think it worked as bad for me as it did you, but it still worked pretty bad. All right, that's enough about Microsoft. I actually want to get into Sony. Anything you got to say about that, Logan?
Well, let's recap Sony right quick. They, instead of going last, they went second this time. Mm-hmm. They went on Monday night. You know, Sony, I always tend to kind of be hard on Sony with their press conferences, and as always, they were a bit predictable. They showed everything you expect. You know, they showed Uncharted 3. They showed the Uncharted PS Vita game. Resistance 3 was shown. A lot of talk about 3D support. They're really trying to hammer that home. And they spent a great deal of time talking about the PlayStation Vita, which was interesting enough. We'll talk about that later. But all in all, Sony, they're pretty predictable, which you can't really fault anybody for that. But there were no surprises that I saw. There weren't many third-party developers there. All in all, it was kind of boring, really.
Boring.
What about you? What did you think of it?
Well, personally, I thought that new PlayStation Vita was not very appealing at all. I thought it was really just, it was another portable game, and it didn't really bring anything new to the table for me. They did show a 3D TV bundle for about $500 for a 24-inch TV that comes with a HD cable, Resistance 3, the TV, and I believe that's it.
Glasses.
Oh, yeah, glasses. They come with like a $70 pair of glasses that they're also going to be releasing separately as well for anyone who already owns a 3D TV that wants some inexpensive glasses. But, I mean, I like the idea of a 3D TV. I'll give them that they tried for that. But $500 for a 24-inch TV is not appealing to me. I think it should have been bigger for that kind of price, at least 30 inches.
I understand what you're saying, and I applaud them for putting forth the effort to make 3D more accessible, but as somebody who has heard people knock on Nintendo, knock on everyone really for being gimmicky, you know, the Move, Kinect, the Wii U now, I just have to stop the press and say that Sony and their 3D talk is the most gimmicky thing there is in the game industry. They really try to hammer this home, and it's an expensive technology for not that big of an experience, I feel like. It's just like people pay $12 to see a movie in 3D. You know, what the hell's the difference? I've never got it, and I don't know why people are so infatuated with it, to be honest.
I got a bit of the opposite mentality on that. I think that the 3D experience is a pretty good thing, and I'll give someone that, yeah, you could pay a little more to have a little better experience than on what you're seeing, but you know, not a huge amount that you need to pay, but just a, you know, a little more to get a little better.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd pay double the amount of admission just to get a headache from my TV. another thing we didn't touch on much was the PlayStation Move. Sony talked about it a pretty good bit, and you know, they talked about it a lot last press conference, just like Microsoft did with the Kinect, and they talked about it a pretty good bit this one. And if you ask me, really didn't have a lot to show. They kind of, I don't want to say swept it under the rug, but they showed, talked about it for a long time and didn't really show much about it. The biggest thing they did was talk about BioShock Infinite having Move support, and they didn't even really show anything. So, what was your opinion on the Move?
I think the Move is probably the worst of that motion sensor kind of gimmick that games are doing now. It's not really very appealing to me, and I think that it's just the games that actually they show for it are pretty awful, even when they just started showing it. I mean, does Drake's Uncharted 3, is that going to be motion controlled, or is that strictly in the controller realm?
From what I know, no. It's more they use that more for like a SOCOM. I know uses it. Killzone uses it. Just kind of a shoehorn aiming system.
Yeah,
as far as I know, Uncharted 3 does not have it.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, they've got that whole idea of the little toy gun molds thing that you can put in your hand and all that kind of stuff. And that's just, it's a bit gimmicky for me, and I just can't deal with that. I mean, I think Resistance 3 is going to have that.
Yeah.
The SOCOM, like you said, the SOCOM has that. And I mean, it's just, it's unimportant to me and a bit too gimmicky and complicated for my taste.
Hey, I agree. Stick with a controller, Sony. Come on, guys. Same with Microsoft, but at least they kind of admit that the Kinect can't really do that kind of crap. All right. So, you know, obviously we're not the world's biggest Sony fans, especially when it comes to their press conferences. So my man, if you had to give them a grade before and after, what do you give Sony this year?
I think last podcast I gave him a grade of C+, pretty middle of the road there. You know, I had an open mind for him, and I just wanted to see what they had to offer me. But right after seeing it, I think I got to give him a grade of D-.
Ouch.
Yep.
Any reason they went so low for you?
I thought it was a very troubled start. I remember it took him about 20 minutes just to get into it, and it was a bit,
it
was a bit awkward watching these, you know, anchormen or watching these these guys waiting to have this thing show up and them having to kind of work around that whole time gap before he actually started. And
certainly,
then
certainly didn't help that we, as soon as it started, we brought in a tidbit at montage either.
They did show that. They did show montage for some things that they didn't even show at the conference.
Well, kudos to Sony for only having two montages this time and not seven like last year. Jesus Christ.
But I would like to add that they did have some pretty bad banter going on between them.
Oh, God.
I remember that that Sony apology they did at the very beginning of the show. That lasted, it was like 3 minutes, was it? About that?
Yeah, for the PSN.
Yeah, about 3 minutes. And even I thought that was a little too long. And I think it really showed with that with this black guy and this white guy coming out to show the Ruin game.
Yeah, Ruin, for the Vita. That was... I felt sorry for the poor black guy up there. He was sweating it pretty hard.
Yeah, they kind of hurt themselves on that one. But
that's a good point. If we had to, there's always a few kind of some nervous developers up there, and that guy took the cake for that one. He was sweating it out pretty hard.
But it was a bit of trouble for me.
It was a bit rough. I'll give you that.
Yeah, and I thought that the things they showed weren't very appealing to me, and it was just kind of a waste of time.
Ouch.
But what about you? What grade did you give them before, and what grade do you give them now?
Like I said, Sony, I feel like they're always the safest press conference. They don't try too hard, and they always try to show a few things people like, and I feel like they did that this year. And before, I gave them a C+, and after, I'm going to give them a C-. A lot of the stuff they show was pretty boring, but they didn't really do too much to hurt himself. I mean, I agree with you. They had some kind of awkward situations. I don't know. That Sony never really, like I said, they always remain even keel. And I also feel like they don't do too much to impress the fans usually. You know, they kind of show some, you know, the stuff they know is going to hit heavy, and they never really kind of go out of the way to make some big announcement.
Yeah, I do like to say that PlayStation, that's a real Japanese system, and it's, you know, really, really Japanese in the way they run things on that. And yet, this press conference, it was really rather geared towards Americans. There weren't a lot of Japanese-themed titles. There weren't a lot of Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts, not a lot of that kind of stuff, and more just shooters, racers, and Little Big Planet type of things.
Yeah, and to be honest, bias aside, I mean, I feel like that, you know, Microsoft gets the bad rap for, oh, they got Gears of War and Halo, so what? Well, Sony, you have Uncharted and Killzone. It's the same crap. I just feel like Microsoft, their franchises do it better. I mean, the stuff like, you know, Demon Souls, which is, you know, was it Dark Souls, I believe, is coming to Xbox now. Kingdom Hearts, stuff like that. It's, you know, it's a niche market, so to speak, but it sets Sony apart. I believe they, I forget, it was me and Travis were talking about, I forget who said it, but Sony's usually more willing to take chances on kind of fringe games, and that's what kind of gives them a more hardcore our audience, and they didn't really cater to them too well this conference, I don't think.
All right, enough of this Sony stuff. I want to get into the big dog, the big boy, the elephant in the room going on right now, the one everyone wants to talk about. Let's get into Nintendo.
Whew. Nintendo, where do I start with you? Well, Nintendo, everybody thought they had Nintendo figured out this year, and I'd like to say they kind of threw everyone a curveball. It wasn't what I expected. How about you?
Not at all.
All right, so Nintendo, they started off with a pretty big Zelda presentation, and that lasted a while. Then they led in talking about the 3DS, a lot of sales talk, then kind of went into a few games they had for it, and I had trouble finding what else they talked about. They spent the rest of the time talking about their new console, aptly named the Wii U, which I just think is a horrible name. And
the
honestly,
woo.
They spent the woo. Now, I would have preferred the Woo. But, it was a very confusing press conference. I know the internet, and you, me and you looking at each other when we sat there and watched the press conference. The people on TV, people on the internet were kind of confused about what the Wii U was. And I feel like Nintendo did an absolutely terrible job of showcasing this thing and just telling us what the hell this thing does, what it's about. Yeah. You know, the technology, I don't want to damn it yet. It's still too early. But the press conference was the most ass-backwards thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I will give you that. Till the cows come home. That Wii U was very, very confusing. I didn't know what was going on. And I knew it hit you and Bailey hard with this conference. You guys, I saw the confusion in y'all's face when we were watching that. there was confusion galore.
Well, it was, like I said, half of it has to do with how they presented it. The other half has to do with why they presented it that way. All the rumors leading up. Obviously, it's just rumors. You know, nobody from Nintendo ever officially said this stuff, but from what we were all led to believe, this was the chance for Nintendo to come back to us people who grew up with Nintendo and give us a chance to say, look, we lost you back then. Now's the time to come back over to Nintendo. We're just going to be just as big as these other guys, and maybe they'll be that way. But wow, this year they didn't do that, and they did not make me want to jump over back to Nintendo ship at all.
So, I mean, just to clarify for the people listening here, let's get a lowdown on what this Wii U is exactly. I mean, what is it?
The biggest confusion, I think, comes from Nintendo talking about their controller more than the console.
Yeah.
The Wii U is not a Wii. It is a totally new console. And we couldn't get, you know, we couldn't get any specifics down, but it's supposedly more powerful than the PS3 and the Xbox 360, which, you know, 5 years later, I'd hope. It's apparently going to have a better online system. It's supposed to run games in 1080p. Mm-hmm. And it's just supposed to be a more up-to-date Nintendo. But as for all that, they did nothing to show us the console or say this is what it's about. All their talk was spent on the gimmicky controller, which, after I saw some demos of it played on the floor, you know, it looked pretty impressive. And I like what they're trying to do with it, but aesthetically, the controller looked uncomfortable. I don't know. I really don't know what to say about Nintendo. They've really let me down with this press conference, and I don't want to go ahead and damn the console, like I said, but wow, they went about this completely wrong way. Maybe even a bit pompous about it, thinking that they had the show won before they even had a conference together.
Uh-huh. So the thing in their hands when they were showing in the trailer, mm-hmm. that was the controller for it.
That's the controller, yes.
But it is kind of portable. Like, you can go and you can play wherever you want to with it.
Well, not in the sense of it's like a 3DS that you could take, you know, outside. They didn't give any specifics, but I'd like to think this. You'll love this little parallel I'm drawing. You know, my old video game room. I'd like to imagine if I was playing my Wii U on my TV, right?
Uh-huh.
I'd like to imagine if the beaming technology goes that far, I'd like to imagine that I could, you know, keep my game going, transfer it to my screen, and go into my bathroom and take a shit and still keep playing the game. That's my dream. If they can confirm that, I might be a day one buyer. You know, I'm not sure how well that technology works the farther you get, but you know, they built up a lot for like a family thing. If your dad wanted to come in and watch football, you can just beam the game, you know, down to your screen, and it's supposed to be lossless. It's still supposed to be HD, stuff like that, which is neat. But is that something I'm going to buy a console for? No, I have my own TV. I don't need to worry about my dad coming on here and watching, you know, while I'm trying to play a game.
Yeah, I do kind of feel that's going to be a problem for Nintendo, because a lot of their market is for families and for, yeah. you know, the grandparents who just want to get their little 7 or 8 year old a nice little game system to play. And so
true.
They're going to think it's like an accessory. and that they're just going to use it with their Wii, and they're not going to realize it's another separate console.
That is a fantastic point, because I realized there was a lot of confusion back when the 3DS came out, obviously not amongst hardcore gamers like ourselves, you know, that know what's going on, but... You know, people thought, so is this just a DS that does 3D? Well, no, it's an entirely new system. And it's an, and it's not just an update. You know, it's this is the next one. It's not a DSi. And this is not just a Wii, you know, 1.5 that, you know, now has this controller. This is an entirely new console. And using that name, which is just horrible, I have to add, they do nothing to separate themselves from it, which is, I understand they're trying to hold on to that market they've done so much to build, but wow, you're that's a really good point, Andrew. That is,
I'm going to do a bit of a prediction here. I'm going to see in the near future that GameStops around the world are going to have many, many calls from people who are going to say, why can't I get this TV controller to work with my Wii?
I hope that's not the case. I hope they do a better job clarifying, but I can definitely see that as a possibility, especially knowing the clientele GameStop gets.
But yeah, that is exactly what I see. But on to a little different topic about the Nintendo conference. I did notice something after we finished watching it. I looked over to you and I said, you know what? They actually did not show any demos whatsoever in the conference at all.
Yeah, and when you told me that, I was like, that is a great point. And honestly, I can't think why. The first thing I think of is they don't have anything to show. They did have some 3DS videos that all look good. I know Bailey was excited because she's planning on purchasing one soon, and she wanted to, you know, to know the library was going to have a few more hits. And it sounds like they're going to do a pretty good job by the end of the year shoring up the 3DS's library. But they went straight to the Project Cafe, you know, the Wii U now, that they had, and they had nothing to really show for it. Game-wise, they showed nothing. Correct me if I'm wrong. They announced a new Smash Brothers to be made, but that's what? All they said.
I wouldn't even think that was an announcement. It's more a slip of the tongue that got that got overblown.
There's that. And at the beginning, they had all this Zelda talk, which, you know, we were all on the edge of our seats waiting for, you know, Skyward Sword. They showed some clips of it.
Yeah.
No gameplay. And they didn't even give a release date for the damn game. They said, that's holiday this year is all we can get from that. That's pretty brutal.
That kind of hurt.
I felt like they did so much to harp on the 25th anniversary of Zelda and how big of a deal this was. And then, oh, guess what? We can't give you a release date. That sucked. Right quick, jumping back to the topic of no live demos. Once you made that comment to me, I thought, you know, maybe they're a little gun shy after the big Zelda fiasco of last year. But then I thought, you know, this is like the equivalent of a NFL quarterback. Give me Matt Ryan, for instance. It's not like he goes out there and throws an interception and then, you know, hangs up his cleats and just gives up on football. You know, if you make a mistake, that shit happens. They should have came back out with Zelda this year and said, you know what, this shit does work. Check it out.
Honestly, dude, I saw on GameTrailers.com that there was quite a bit of demos that the press got to see and the press got to play with after the conference was over. And I felt a bit jilted by that, because I think Nintendo was really going more for press support over just showing the mass audience what they're going to be doing. And so they just want to get other companies and these tabloids and stuff to talk about what they're going to be doing and let the people who are actually there play things over people on TV getting to see what they're doing.
Problem is, there's people like us who will fault them for that. And I want Nintendo to show me something. This was their chance to win me over. Someone who honestly was a lifelong Nintendo fanboy. You know, I then fell in love with the PlayStation. And after that, you know, fell in love with playing, you know, games online after the PC was done for me. Started to love my Xbox, then went to the Xbox 360. This was a chance to say, look, come on back to us. We got all the great games you remember, but they failed to do that miserably for me.
Yep. I'll agree with you on that.
So, we've been pretty scathing of Nintendo. As for a grade, what would you give them before, and what do you give them now that it's over?
Before, I believe I gave them a B+, if I remember correctly. And now, after seeing the conference, I give them a C-. Pretty stuck, middle of the road. Not good, not bad. I think I'll justify that with them giving us nothing but videos and disappointments from Zelda and the Wii, and pretty much nothing but almost empty promises. Here's what we could do, but here's what we didn't do.
Pretty much, yeah.
What about you? I mean, what's your score then and now?
Well, as much as I'm ashamed to admit it now, I was drinking Nintendo's Kool-Aid before this thing. I had him down as an A- on our first podcast, and after all that, I got to stick him with a C-. Everybody gets a C- from me. Little below average. I was expecting so much from this Wii U reveal, and I don't want to damn it yet. They have to really impress me next year, though, because anything they showed this year, no, not impressed whatsoever. Nintendo's, they're in a great situation. You know, Microsoft, I don't feel like I'm that loyal to them. They have my purchases right now, but they need to keep impressing me. Sony, they're the same way. If they could ever show me something to make me want to get my own PS3, then yeah, definitely. I'm not picking a side here, but Nintendo's the one that they don't have to show me much to win my trust, and they can't even do that, and I don't know, it bothers me.
I will honestly say, I was worried when I was starting to look at that this new system they would be revealing would be a big competition against the 360, and that I would have to sort of choose my side on the war of the consoles, and it would be a real tearing point between friends playing together on these different systems. And now, after looking at all this, it's kind of, to me, it's a bit laughable. My fears were misplaced, I gotta
Well,
say.
as much as I'd want to call you crazy, I have to agree with you. I don't see myself jumping ship anytime soon.
All right, now that the full entirety of the E3 press conference is over, I'd like to talk about what's your personal highlight and low light of E3 so far.
Well, just because there was so much negativity in the first segment, I think we should start off with our highlights. Obviously, mine, I don't think this will come as any shock to anybody who listens to this or you. Mass Effect 3, I was.
No way.
I was a little tentative as such a super fan, I'd like to proclaim myself as what they'd show. And it was a bunch of stuff that I'd read on, that these were the demos they had. And a lot of it was cool. The Kinect functionality was neat. The stuff they showed at EA was pretty cool. The trailer was awesome. But to be honest, it wasn't really until I got to see the opening sequence, basically, of the game. GameTrailers.com did it. The Earth sequence. I was like, wow, this is really neat. And I kind of got jazzed for the game. So overall, I look at games, and Skyrim was impressive. A lot of games were impressive, but Mass Effect 3, I know I'm not the most impartial person, but I was impressed by it. I feel like they've shown a lot of stuff, even though it's so early along in development, that they showed a lot of things that really impressed me. Only thing I was upset about was the release date, March of next year. What do you think about Mass Effect this year, Andrew?
I actually thought it was really good. I think they're going to really give the fans what they want on this one. I see it being a very good ending piece, and I see it being their big blowout closer, and I think we're going to all see it as being game of the year next year.
All right, so Mass Effect 3. No surprise, that's my highlight. What about you? What was your highlight?
My highlight, actually, it's a bit depressing towards the entirety of E3 if my highlight were two demos that were shown during Game Trailers break after Microsoft's press conference.
Oh, dear.
So my favorite thing was not anything shown on stage at all, but two demos done after.
Talk to me.
First one was Batman Arkham City. That
Might
yes,
encounter with a gasp.
yes, gasp away, sir. The Arkham City demo that Sefton Hill of Rocksteady did for Game Trailers, and it was basically just, it was that opening thing where you go find Catwoman in the Two-Face, in Two-Face's head base or whatever. But I just thought it was a good drink of water in the desert, that good little oasis that you come across when you're just thirsting for what's going on. And so I'd love to see that they were actually showing something off there. And I think it looked amazing from what it had. And I really got to see a bit extra in there. They showed a little extra demo that it actually continues into Two-Face's lair. And I liked how they're doing like you jump down into all those group of guys, and most of them scatter. They run away. They know it's Batman. Rocksteady knows it's Batman, and we're gonna know it's Batman when Arkham City comes out.
I gotta admit, like I said about Mass Effect 3, it looked a bit rough around the edges. Not to say it didn't look cool, but Batman, it looked right on time. That game looked like a finished game, and the zipping around, that was almost my highlight. It was just them zipping around the city with no rhyme or reason. That looked amazing. I can't wait.
Me neither. I cannot wait. It's gonna be an amazing game. I can feel it. But the second demo that was shown off was Elder Scrolls V Skyrim, done by Todd Howard at Bethesda. He showed that off. And personally, I gotta say, out of all the people that you can put a face on a game company, Todd has got to be my favorite. I think that guy really knows how to work, with giving you what you want to hear, but not spoiling anything for you. And out of Skyrim device, I say that was why I loved that so much, why I thought it was a great highlight, because it's just, you were given so much to see there, but none of it felt like you were spoiling anything or that you were going to be deprived of anything when you actually play the game of prior knowledge. But I thought the guy did a great job of showing it off, and it was a great demo to show because of all the new features that you actually just saw there.
Yeah, I'll agree. If I might just ask you a question here.
Yes, sir.
Not to call you out or anything, but you weren't really the world's biggest Skyrim fan, from what I remember, in our circles of conversations. Not to say you're not a fan of the Elder Scrolls game, but you didn't seem as jazzed as we were for Skyrim. Did this demo change your mind somewhat?
Honestly, before, I thought Skyrim's going to be a great game. I'm going to have fun playing it, but it's not going to be my game of the year or anything. It'll probably sit on the shelf once it's done. But once I actually saw that Skyrim demo, I could honestly understand what Chris is so jazzed up about this game for, and I could really see it. It was like I was putting myself in his shoes. I could really, really see what he was talking about and what he wanted.
I'll agree. I know Jake made a point on the forums, and I have to agree with him. As much as Mass Effect, I thought, made a strong showing, Skyrim might have stole the show in terms of what they had to show gameplay-wise, because it was a really neat little demo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, they're going to be dragons for the first time in this game, right? This is going to be the first one with dragons in it.
Yeah, not just dragons, but they're not, you know, boss encounters. They're just, well, just so to speak, as in scripted, they're apparently creatures that just roam the entire world, and that's pretty neat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Speaking of the world, I like the idea they're going to have a whole bunch of different settings now. You can go from snow to forest to just open plains. And I think that's going to be, before actually seeing it, I think it makes it look like it's going to be a huge world. I mean, just hours upon hours just to get from one end to the other.
The game looks great as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Looks amazing.
All right, like I said, I feel like we had a good bit of negativity at the beginning. And nice to cushion the blow with a little positive thoughts there with the highlights. But back to our favorite thing, some more negativity. How about some lowlights? Andrew, I know both of us were kind of disappointed with this year's E3. Give me some of your just lowest of the lowlights of this show.
I think I got pretty much two parts that are pretty low for me personally. I think the first one is going to be that Modern Warfare 3 opening up the whole show.
Yikes.
I think that's not the first thing I wanted to see going into E3 at all. And it just, to me, it seems like it's really Activision's way of money grabbing. It's, come on, you can't support something like that. And you can't make it first billing either. Have someone who just buys up another game company just to make a third game in the series, a ridiculous idea of a series. It's atrocious to me, and the idea makes me pretty angry at Activision, quite honestly. And I think it's pretty much the low point for me, because it's a low blow to the serious gamers. It's taken that idea, the people who don't play video games, and it's putting them above us.
Everybody kind of knows my stance on Call of Duty, and I'm just feeling like enough's enough. You know, it's had its time. It's had its good games. I'll be the first to admit it. You know, the Call of Duty 2 was a great game. The first one was a good game. I wasn't a big fan of Modern Warfare. Modern Warfare 2 was fun. Like I said, it was a fun in a Gears of War 1, Halo 1 kind of way. It was just the multiplayer was kind of broken and fun. Just kind of stupid. But, I mean, enough's enough. I need a break from it. Even as somebody who doesn't play the games, just a year off, please. So I don't have to see it. That's all I ask for. And I do have to also say that even as somebody who doesn't like the games, that demo, even if I was a huge fan, looked really boring.
To be honest, it looked the same as Modern Warfare 2. There was no changes whatsoever.
That's a great point. It's been a while since I've played Modern Warfare 2, but I'm pretty sure that the text they use is identical.
Yeah, and it's just even that boat scene where you just drive around, it's like that guy on the front of the boat does the same move that Price does. It's that flipping from one side to the other.
All I have to say is Mass Effect 3, a game that, like I said, is a year away, and you can tell it's nowhere near done. Even they had the decency to take the heads-up display and change the color of it, at least change the color or something for me. Come on, guys.
It's crazy. It's crazy, and it's a low blow.
Welcome to the dark side, Andrew. I believe everybody would say Modern Warfare 3 leading it off was a disappointment. Anything else that kind of hurt you?
I will give a quick another thing that hurt me is the Arkham City demo. Even though I gave it a high point, I loved it to death. It's still confirmed that there is no co-op in Arkham City, and that just it tears my heart out to hear that.
Well, if it tears your heart out, if I was going to play Arkham City co-op with anybody, it'd be you. So it tears both our hearts out. I know we talked about it last podcast. We were both jazzed for it after seeing that trailer. We thought it was a no-brainer that they were going to throw it in there.
Exactly. I see no hope for it, though. It's with the trailer, it sparked an idea of it, and then they just tore it down.
Maybe you'll get some announcement for, like I said, the challenge maps, because the question really was about story, but...
Yeah, he did say there's no co-op in the storyline. He did say that. I remember him saying that for the storyline, but it still kind of showed me that there's going to be no co-op whatsoever, because he was a bit uninterested in furthering the fact of co-op.
And if they were going to announce it, I'd imagine it'd be at E3, and they're kind of running out of time. That game comes out in, what, about 4 months?
Oh, yeah, about that. All right, so I think I've done enough of low lighting for me. What about you? What is your low light?
Well, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but as a low light for me, I have to say the entire Nintendo press conference.
Wow, an hour and what is it, an hour and a half of low light?
Ooh, yeah, it was one solid. It was one solid low light for me. I don't want to go into too much detail. You know, we talked about it a good bit at the beginning, but wow, no release date for Skyward Sword. The Wii U being underwhelming. It left me with nothing. They didn't show anything. They've had so much success with the Wii in this casual market, and they always claim that they didn't forget about us people who grew up playing Nintendo games. And I thought this was going to be their chance to remind us of that like they did last year, but they didn't. They showed off no Wii games. I mean, and if you want to count Skyward Sword, maybe, but they didn't even show it. There was not a single Wii game showed, and every 3DS game they showed, except for one, Luigi's Mansion 2, which isn't that big a deal, was all old stuff. The trailers were new, but we'd heard about all of those games. Mario Kart 3DS, I'm not sure if we'd heard about it, but even then, is that big of a surprise?
Not really, no.
The Wii U, they showed nothing for it. Nothing.
They did a montage.
Nothing. You know, after the montage was, this is just prototype. Don't worry, none of this is coming out. Oh, thanks.
Yeah, we might have to give the crown of the montages from Sony to Nintendo this time.
That was just what really got me, is I was expecting something so much out of this Wii U. And don't get me wrong, like I said, I said earlier, I don't want to damn the console already, but they showed me nothing. It's like almost they got caught in between E3s. They didn't have that much to show this time, and they're going to have a lot to show next time, and it is going to fall all on next year's E3 for them to say, look, please buy this.
Yeah, I'll fill you on that one.
I just didn't feel like I had a direction. The whole time I was waiting on them to wow me with something, and nothing really happened. It just kind of ended, and I just kind of looked around like, wow, that's it? You know, E3 this year kind of disappointed me in a lot of ways, but that might have been the one thing I didn't see coming, to be that disappointed by Nintendo, I'd say.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, even just as, you know, a guy who's not a huge Nintendo fanboy, I was honestly expecting something big from Nintendo, too. That's their thing now. It never came.
Sad, sad state of affairs.
Oh, it's a sad, sad situation.
It really is sad that Nintendo, the company who has all these franchises I want, the only thing I want from Nintendo is to give me a freaking release date for the next Zelda, and maybe if I get Mega Man Legends 3 on the 3DS. That's all I want from Nintendo right now. That's all they could give me.
You're not seeing any of it.
Yeah, nothing. Neither of it coming to any sort of fruition. Jesus. All right, that'll do it for our highlights and lowlights. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I want to move into questions now. We got a few people that listen to the podcast, send us some questions. Thanks, y'all. So let's just start reading out a few questions. Andrew, you got one?
Okay. The first one is, what game coming out of E3 are you excited about?
Games coming out of E3 I'm excited about. Skyward Swords, for some reason, the top of my list, Mass Effect 3, Skyrim, even Battlefield 3 I'll throw, Arkham City.
Battlefield 3, huh?
Those are the ones I really think of that tickled my fancy this year. A few I think of that are kind of newly announced and kind of periphery games. The Overstrike game, I thought that was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken was one. I didn't see much of it, but you know, I'm kind of excited for that game. Mostly the big things you think about are the ones I'm excited for. That's just Gears of War 3, that one too, but I almost consider that last year's E3. What about you? What games are you excited for this year, Andrew?
Well, of course, my big number one is going to be Batman Arkham City. It's a shocker, I know. It's just, who would have guessed coming out of left field there?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say probably number two is going to be Skyrim. There's another shocker. And I'll give Skyward Sword. That's pretty exciting. That's going to be a big deal.
If it comes up.
Yeah. And I got to say, I thought Far Cry 3 looked kind of interesting. It almost gave me like a BioShock type of feel, where it felt like they were, I gotta say it, I gotta be truthful, they felt like they kind of put some thought into it, at least the dialogue and a bit of thought into how these characters are going to be presented. And I think it might be a little better than the Far Cries.
It better be better than Far Cry 2, because that game sucked.
I do remember Far Cry 2 and that Far Cry Predator Instinct, whatever, those were some pretty awful games. I think 3 might do it. 3 might be a good game.
Another shocker.
A big shocker. I mean, I've been a fan of the Infamous series. I thought Infamous 2, I already knew it was coming out June the 7th. I'd played the demo on the PlayStation Network after the network came back up. I mean, I'm not going to buy it day one. I'm not going to pay $60 for it. I'll pay maybe half that when it comes in used later on in the years. I think Infamous 2 might be something fun to play. Oh, Mass Effect 3. I can't believe I left that one out. Yeah, Mass Effect 3. That's going to be a big one. I'm going to love to play. Yeah, I think they're going to do it right. I think they're going to be the staple game for doing the Kinect right. It's just, don't make it an accessory, not a system. Don't make your game around it. Make your game with it.
Just because we haven't had enough disappointing news, I did, as the Mass Effect fan I am, I did hear one thing on a little live chat about it. Captain Anderson does not come with you. He stays on Earth. So let's
hear
the sadness.
Why you gotta tell me this now? Why here in front of all these people? In front of all these you gotta.
Hey, don't go jumping off a bridge yet. We got a podcast. Moving on to our next question: what were everybody's thoughts on the Modern Warfare 3 footage? We already touched on this, but Andrew, anything to add to that?
Nope. I pretty much just got to say it was an awful attempt at money grabbing on Activision's part, and I will condemn it to hell.
Activision money grabbing? Stop the presses.
It's just no change to the formula. It's Modern Warfare 2 with the 3 painted over it.
I pretty much agree. I was extremely underwhelmed, and I thought the Black Ops footage last year was boring, but that swimming underneath the sub, whatever, God, it took forever.
Oh, yeah.
It was awful.
All right, well, let's move on to question number 3. Let's see here. Question number 3 is, what did you think of the more hardcore Kinect games?
Hardcore Kinect games. Well, I'm struggling to think of some. I guess the Fable, was it the Journey, I believe it was called?
Yeah, Fable the Journey.
We had Fable, the Star Wars game. Hardcore in terms of what? It's all just the same crap to me. Star Wars Kinect looked abysmal. That game looked terrible. And
I thought it looked very sluggish, slow to turn and swing and swing.
Oh yeah, and Fable didn't look much better if you ask me.
Oh,
it
yeah,
all looked pretty. It all looked rough.
Yeah, it's Kinect is not something you can do that for.
I see no future to core titles like Fable and Halo with Kinect. I just don't see it happen. Honestly, you know Kinect is in a... It's found its little market when the thing... I'm like, wow, the only thing I saw I was going to buy would be Kinect Sports 2 just because it had golf and baseball and stuff.
You know? I was like that too. I was like, wow, why didn't they have that in the first one? Those are amazing to play.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not like Kinect Sports is a game that I fire up every day. Like, yeah, it's another time for another round of Kinect Sports. It's just something to play every now and then with friends. And not to say there's anything wrong with playing those every now and then, but that's just the way I feel about Kinect. It's doomed itself to the Weedom, if you will. All right, we got another question here. What is one thing that Microsoft did right and one thing they did wrong during their conference, Andrew? What do you think?
I thought something they did right was they showed a lot of demos. Like, they actually showed games being played, and I thought that was a smart move on their part. But I thought something they did wrong is there was kind of a pretty poor choice of games they actually showed. They kept Skyrim and Arkham City out. And I thought that was a big mistake on their part. So, I mean, what about you? What do you think they did right and wrong?
Right. The conference doesn't seem that bad in retrospect, but I find a hard time finding something they did right. As much as we agree it's not a bombshell, I thought they did a pretty good job ending with Halo 4. I mean, the trailer itself was neat. Not a surprise. That was pretty cool, though. I've always kind of liked Halo, but I don't know. It wasn't a bombshell, but the trailer was neat. That was a good thing to end it on. Predictable, maybe, but good to end it on. Wrong is the Kinect. Way too much time on Kinect. I have a Kinect. That's fine. You know, they could have done what they did in 40 minutes in 10. Just show off some crap, make way for the games. Like you said, Skyrim, you know, Arkham City is another good choice. Tons of games that could have been featured on the big stage didn't get on there because Kinect, just like last year.
Beating a dead horse.
We know what it can do, especially if you're showing Dance Central 2 and Kinect Sports 2. We know what those are. Move on.
Exactly. All right, so the fifth question on our list is going to be, what did everyone think of the Battlefield 3 footage? Battlefield 3, what did you think, Logan?
The footage they showed, not terribly impressed at all. The tank level looked boring, but I understand why they showed that. I do have to say, though, you know, they showed some snippets before they showed the tank level.
Mm-hmm.
And Battlefield 3, I really felt like, as someone who's... I like the Battlefield series, not huge on the war games that are so big nowadays, but if I was going to buy one, I feel like it would be Battlefield 3. I felt like they did a pretty good job kind of differentiating themselves from the other titles. What about you?
I'm actually going to have to go the opposite way on that. Something good, I thought the graphics looked pretty amazing on that.
Yeah, that Frostbite 2, that thing was the real deal. It looked great.
But the gameplay itself, I kind of think they're going into a bit of a danger zone towards the Modern Warfare type, where it's a bit action sequence based over tactical, land grabbing, conquering position type of deal. And I always thought Battlefield was more of a strategy type game, and you had to be a little smarter in how you worked and how you used your team. And then Modern Warfare was more just everyone go kill, kill, kill. A bit of a loner in Modern Warfare, but I think they're sort of going away from that in Battlefield 3, and they're becoming a Modern Warfare where it's just action-based. Think about yourself. Just shoot, shoot, shoot. Don't think about anything else. Don't think about having to grab this land. Don't think about having to get that point. And it's just, that's a bit disheartening to me.
I don't know if that's the direction they're going to go with it in the multiplayer, but I'm with you. I sure as hell hope they don't do that, but I don't know. We'll see. So for our next question, our very own Super Afro Boy was nice enough to record a question and send it in to us. So, Mike, what do you got to say?
Hey guys, it's Super Afro Boy reporting in from Canada. My question is in regards to, and I cringe when I say this, to the Wii U and Nintendo, I guess. Obviously, their press conference was a huge letdown. 3DS stuff was good, but everything else was terrible. What titles do you guys need to see on the shelf for the launch of the Wii 2 in order to convince you to purchase it at launch and not, you know, later when, let's say, a new Zelda or Mario drops or something like that? What needs to be on the shelf to convince you to purchase it?
I'm glad Super Afro Boy asked this, because this is a really good question. As for a title I'd like to see on the shelf that would make me buy a Wii U, other than a Zelda or a Mario, because, you know, those are the games that will move the systems, to be honest. But who knows if one of those will be around late 2012. They didn't talk much about this time. You know, they talked about Arkham City, Darksiders 2, a couple of games that were going to make it to the Wii U. But the problem with that was they even admitted afterwards that they were just showing footage from the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions. You know, something like Arkham City or a Ninja Gaiden 3, it does not interest me being able to play that game a year and a half after it's released on the Wii U. You know, a new game, I'd have to start seeing games that look better, play better, you know, have a good online. I'd have to see third-party games coming out late next year, and then them say the Wii U version is the best version. I'd have to see something that would say, if you want to play a third-party game, the Wii U's the best to do it on, and we're going to have all these Nintendo games. That's what it'd take for me to buy one. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. I think all these games that are already out, I don't want to play them on the Wii U months after they've already been out
exactly.
And played. And so I think I want to see more games that are just coming out that are going to be on that. And of course, I couldn't give you a title because I'm not a mind reader. I'm not a fortune teller. So I couldn't tell you what these new games are going to be coming out in 2012 are going to be. But I'd like to see them on the Wii U. And I'd like to see things like maybe Mass Effect 3 on there, something like that. But I would also like to see the old Nintendo characters redone in their own form, where there's something new added to the table.
Sure. Talk about Mass Effect 3. That's a good example. A game that we followed on, you know, for us, Xbox, since the first one 4 years ago. Would you play Mass Effect 2 and 3 on the Wii U 2 years from now? Hell no. There's no point in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but maybe somewhere down the road, Mass Effect 4, which, you know, whatever it's going to be back when that comes out, if the Wii U version is the best, then maybe I think about taking that plunge. But I don't know. Overall, I don't see myself doing it unless they have something special to offer me.
Mm-hmm. All right. On to our last question on the list. It's going to be best and worst conference and why? That's a good question.
Well, I mean, looking at my grades, I'm C minuses all around. I have a hard time giving it to anyone. They were all so meh to me. Honestly, I'd have to give best to Microsoft just because they had Mass Effect 3 there. And that's just, I know it's, you know, fanboyish, but that's the only way I can differentiate. And they were all just so bleh.
You can give it to EA. They had a conference with Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, they had that, and that was it. I don't really care about the on foot Need for Speed game. Jesus Christ. Hey, here's a game about cars. Why don't you get out of it?
Why don't you get out and start running around?
Jesus Christ. Worst conference? I gotta go Nintendo. Sony's always boring for me, but I'm giving it Nintendo just because I expected so much more from them, and they let me way down. How about you, Andrew?
Best conference, I gotta go with you on this one, Microsoft, because I thought they had the fewest problems. They did less of the Kinect than last year, which is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed a lot of demos. You always got to remember, show your games off. That is a golden rule at the press conferences. And worst, I'm gonna go on the continued string here and say Ubisoft is the worst, just like all the years before. Just for the fact that I didn't know it was possible, but there's one man who can make a conference awful, and that is Mr. Caffeine.
Oh yeah,
he was nothing but a bad time.
Yeah, I was wishing for Joel McHale to be back about halfway through that thing. That guy was annoying as shit.
Yeah, they had anything they showed was really uninteresting. What didn't really care about Assassin's Creed, Ezio again, didn't care about him. Didn't really care about that Ghost Recon, whatever. And I thought the whole dialogue of the press conference itself was very, very awkward. I thought that Mr. Caffeine made it a bit jolty to want to keep watching and hearing what he's got to say. Just uncomfortable for me to watch.
I felt kind of bad for that guy because he was extremely enthusiastic, and needless to say, the audience wasn't sending him much of that feedback. All right, that's the end of the questions. Josh sent some in. Super Effort Boy recorded one, had a few others from people. Appreciate that, guys. You know, we'll definitely do something like this in the future, but thanks for your questions.
Yes,
hope we answered them the way you want to hear. All right, since there's just so much stuff to cover on E3 and some people seem to enjoy it last time, we're going to go right back into a rapid fire segment again. So this might be a little lonely now with just me and Andrew, but here we go, guys. Let's rapid fire.
All right.
All right, let's begin the rapid fire. First up, Battlefield 3 versus Modern Warfare 3. There's been a lot of jib-jabbing between these two. Who came away the victor at E3?
Battlefield 3, I got to give it the bit of an edge, but they got to show me that they're still going to have the strategy over the sequences.
I'm a bit different. I'll give Battlefield 3 the huge win on this. You know, they did a lot to jab at Modern Warfare 3 about this Call of Duty Elite stuff, and I just feel like Battlefield 3 is going to be the better game. Next. All right, we touched on this a little bit earlier. Insomniac Games, they've recently gone multi-platform. They were with Sony for a long time, did stuff like Ratchet and Clank. They unveiled their new game. It's called Overstrike. It looks like kind of a squad-based shooter. Thoughts about that?
Didn't really seem impressed to me. It almost looked like a Perfect Dark Zero type of deal.
I got that same vibe from it, and to be honest, I'm kind of excited. I love games I can play with, you know, three of my closest friends. That's a lot of fun. I thought it looked a little over the top and kind of silly, and that could be fun in this grim, dark age. Only thing I got to criticize is I love how one of the girls looks exactly like Sea Viper from Street Fighter.
They look around, what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Hopefully they get sued. Next. Next up, something I wasn't really expecting to see at the Microsoft press conference, Tomb Raider, the new reboot. We talked about it a bit last week during our rapid fire. We finally got to see the thing in action on stage. What'd you think, Andrew? I know you were excited for it last week.
Oh, yeah. It didn't disappoint me. I liked it. Also, I can see it being something I'll probably gamefly within the next couple of months or whenever it comes out.
Yeah, I thought it looked the graphics looked amazing. The gameplay looked pretty neat. I don't know if I agree with the section they showed, but I can definitely give that game a fair shake. Next. All right, next up, Xbox Live, just like they kind of do every year, it seems like. The dashboard is getting an upgrade. YouTube functionality, Bing search with the Kinect. What do you think, Andrew?
I like it. It was probably about a year too late, but I like it.
I agree. I like how they're updating the dashboard to be completely Kinect functional, and the Bing stuff sounds really neat if it works right. I'd love to just be able to sit there without a controller and be able to search for a game like Mass Effect 3 looking for the newest trailer or something. That's pretty neat. Next. All right, stick with Microsoft Kinect. They showed a lot of it again this year. How do you feel about the direction they're taking with this, Andrew? Are they going the right way, wrong way? What do you think?
I'll say this one more time to cement the fact forever. It needs to be seen as an accessory and not something the game is focused around. That's just the problem.
Totally and completely agree. The Kinect is great when it can add to the experience, but when you try to build the game around that experience, there's only so much you can do, and the games are going to appear the same every time. Moving on. All right, now we're going to something I just have to touch on. Star Wars, The Old Republic. They showed it again. They did not give a release date yet again. What do you have to say about this game, Andrew?
Well, love Star Wars, hate MMOs. So, yawn, wake me up when it's over.
I'm not a fan of MMOs either, but as a huge fan of the Knights of the Old Republic games, why couldn't they just made this a sequel to those, a single-player game? This MMO is costing them so much time and money, and I don't see anytime soon they're going to have it ready. This is pathetic. Next. Shifting gears a bit, Assassin's Creed Revelations. They revealed it a bit for E3 and showed it off at Ubisoft's press conference. Looked like more of the same to me. Still has Ezio, a little bit of Altair. Andrew, do you care about this series at all at this point?
All I got to say is, God dang, Ubisoft, hammer that franchise into the ground. I am sick and tired of hearing about Ezio. Move on.
Once again, I totally have to agree with you. Ezio is a cool enough character, but I kind of thought the cool thing about the Assassin's Creed games was that you were living through these ancestors and we'd have different ones. I heard rumors that there was going to be a female one this time. That's something different. Get me away from Ezio. Give me something neat. Give me something new. Onward! Jumping over to Sony now. The PSN, it was down forever. They addressed it at their conference. Andrew, how do you think they handled
that? A little bit too long, and I'm kind of shocked they didn't have that Kevin Butler guy come out and do it.
1,000% disagree. Way too short. I don't care what they had to do, but they can't just brush this under a rug. This is the biggest theft of personal data in the history of the world. You need to be sincere about it. Next! Kind of sticking with Sony for a bit, Bioshock Infinite, a game that was supposed to have a huge splash at E3, didn't really make a big one. Wasn't shown too much. They did mention there'd be move support for it at the Sony's press conference. Andrew, what did you think about Bioshock Infinite showing this year?
Well, I was a bit disappointed they showed it at Sony. That kind of makes me feel like Sony's trying to slither it into their realm and trying to take it away from the other guys. And it looks like Irrational Games is sort of playing for their field now. And I'm a bit disheartened by that.
I could care less about BioShock Infinite. They didn't show anything this year. It's probably for the better. That game's going to be kind of shitty, I think. Next. All right, here's a big Sony topic. Twisted Metal, like we said earlier, the game they hung their 2010 hat on was barely anywhere to be seen at Sony's press conference. I know it was there on the show floor, but they didn't even really mention the game. Is this game, you know, shaping out to be anything good? What do you think about it, Andrew?
I'm not too sure. I don't know where to go with that game. I was a nice surprise to see it there last year, but it does look like they're sweeping it under the rug. So, I don't know. They're going to have to wow me.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. You know, I was excited for it last year, but anything I saw of this year looked pretty underwhelming. Time has not been kind to this game. They need to really show me something. Next. All right, winding down on the rapid fire, we're about done. E3, it's concluded now. We talked about our first podcast. We talked about our second podcast. Were your hopes met for this E3, Andrew? Was it as big as you wanted it to be?
I would have to say no on all three fronts. Microsoft didn't do it for me. Sony didn't do it for me. Nintendo didn't do it for me.
I'd have to totally agree. Across the board, this is one of the most disappointing E3s I can think of in recent memory. No one really had anything for me.
Okay, with everything we talked about and this whole podcast winded down here, I want to give one final thought on this. What is, overall, your E3 rating?
It's a tough question. I mean, like I think I pretty much stated it pretty well at the end of the rapid fire there. I was extremely disappointed. I felt like there was a lot of potential to be had at this E3. A lot of games could have been announced. You know, a lot of surprises could have been had. A lot of just great things to be said, and not many of them came to fruition. If I had to put a letter grade on this thing, it'd be a C at best.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I think overall it was a disappointment. There were no big bombshells. There was a lot of misplaced coverage, and I'd have to give it just a skim the surface C. Just barely made it out of not being horrible.
It's something that it's usually E3's a slam dunk for this kind of information. I feel like there was not a lot to be had for somebody who wanted to hear some big news. So, is there a final thought you'd leave with me about E3, Andrew? What is your final thought about this
I'd have
E3?
To say if anyone came up to me and said they wanted, what should they see out of E3? I'd say watch Microsoft's, read about what Sony did, and don't even pay attention to Nintendo. If anything says Nintendo, exit out of it. Don't look at it. Don't hear about it. Just pretend it didn't happen. Pretend Nintendo did not come to the conference.
Well, you don't have to do much pretending because they basically did not.
True.
All right, guys. That does it for our big E3 podcast extravaganza. Oh, wow. We really know how we felt about E3 this year. We were disappointed.
Extremely.
If y'all felt differently, please feel free to talk to us about it in the forums. We're going to post this up probably Friday. Probably when you're hearing this. E3, I was expecting more, but it's always fun to be a part of it.
As fun as you can make it, I suppose.
Podcast-wise, any comments you have, let me know how it sounds. Any suggestions you have. And more importantly, I'd like to know what y'all think about the frequency of these. I mean, obviously, we're pretty capable of pumping these out as much as y'all want to hear them. A week, every 2 weeks, every month. If you listen to this, and whatever you think will be a comfortable amount for you to listen to these, let us know in the forums. I'd like to know. So, you know, now that E3's winded down, we can kind of get a structure to these things. And, yeah, it was just the gruesome twosome tonight.
It's a bit disheartening, but they were there in spirit, right?
I believe they were there in their dreams. I bet they're both asleep.
Well, they're missing out.
There you go. All right, but had fun, guys. Hope y'all enjoyed listening. I believe that'll do it for podcast number 2.
See you guys. See y'all later.
Come on.
See you guys. I can't do it.
Wow, dude. That sounds like there's Al-Qaeda sitting there with a note in front of you, and they got the other one through. You're just getting ready to cut your head off on live TV over the internet.
It ain't easy.